As I've been praying into and preparing this series, I feel more and more that the Lord is leading me to this verse in Ephesians 6, verse 18, as kind of a theme, a truth to build around, to build on. And this passage in Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10, it speaks of being strong in the Lord, of putting on the full armor of God. And it reminds us our struggle is not against people. It's against the spiritual forces that stand in opposition to the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 18 reads, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests." Let's highlight a couple of phrases from this verse. It says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Not some, not a few, not even most, all occasions. In each and every situation, there's the opportunity, the comfort, the joy, the power of prayer. And it goes on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. There are all kinds of prayer. For example, there's praise, thanksgiving, confession, lament, pouring out your heart before the Lord. There's intercession, praying for others, blessing. There's dedication. We just prayed over Cairo this morning. There's groaning, too deep for words. All kinds of prayer. And it is my prayer that our understanding and our practice of prayer will be stretched. That's through God's Spirit and to his glory. And each and every prayer is powerful communion with God and direct communication between God and ourselves. So in this series, The Place of Prayer, we want to highlight a few of the many prayers found in the Bible. What can we learn? How can we be challenged to increase the place that prayer has in our lives as individuals and also collectively as a church? Last week, Joseph gave a beautiful message on Solomon's prayer, and we had the opportunity to pray scripture as a congregation. And what a joy that was, the joy of praying scripture, the power of praying scripture, declaring scripture, speaking God's word out loud. And I actually learned, I didn't declare scripture for a lot of my life, even though I was following Jesus. I learned this from my wife, Karen. I think it was early on when we were still dating. We'd just be having a conversation about stuff, and then all of a sudden she'd start declaring scripture, bam, boom, boom. She actually didn't say those sound effects that she declared scripture. And I was kind of like, well, I know scripture too. And then she's, you got to speak it out. And so I kind of humbled myself. I thought, okay, like maybe I can learn. And I started doing it. And really, I found it is so powerful to speak God's word out loud. So let's declare some scripture this morning, not in a rote way, but from the heart. Psalm 46, 1 and 2. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Philippians 4, 7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Amen. And I encourage you this week, pick even one verse, maybe a few, and speak them out loud each day during the week. See what happens. I invite you now to stand, if you're able, We're going to read the scripture passage for this morning, which is Genesis 16. Genesis 16, 1 to 16. We do have Bibles at the back for you to borrow or keep as our gift to you. Genesis chapter 16, starting at verse 1. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abram, "The Lord has kept me from having children. Go, sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her." Abram agreed to what Sarai said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai took his wife took her Egyptian slave Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar, and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Then Sarai said to Abram, "You are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my slave in your arms, and now that she knows she is pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me." "Your slave is in your hands," Abram said. "Do with her whatever you think best." Then Sarai mistreated Hagar, so she fled from her. The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was the spring that is beside the road to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, slave of Sarai, where have you come from, and where are you going?" "I'm running away from my mistress Sarai," she answered. Then the angel of the Lord told her, "Go back to your mistress and submit to her." The angel added, "I will increase your descendants so much that they will be too numerous to count." The angel of the Lord also said to her, "You are now pregnant, and you will give birth to a son. You shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard of your misery. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand against him. He will live in hostility toward all his brothers." She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her, "You are the God who sees me." For she said, "I have now seen the one who sees me." That is why the well was called Beer Lahai Roy. It is still there, between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram gave the name Ishmael to the son she had born. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore him Ishmael. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. So the title of this message is Hagar in the Desert, God Sees Me. And first, I'm just going to say what some of you might be thinking. Like, "Paul, what are you doing? You did that nice little thing about prayer, and then you read this passage? Like, is that even a prayer?" Okay, I know you wouldn't be harsh like that. Thank you. I appreciate lots of grace here. But I think it's a fair question. In this passage, is this a prayer between God and Hagar? And I think it can fit our understanding of prayer. I think it can also stretch our understanding of prayer, but that's a good thing. Prayer involves being in God's presence. We recognize that. We are aware. We rejoice and we're humbled that God is here with us, that we are in the presence of Almighty God. And prayer involves heart-to-heart interaction, connection between God and ourselves. At times, God speaks. At times, we speak. There can be ongoing conversation, back and forth. Emotions can be expressed. Questions can be asked. Even groans can be heard and understood. And there can be silence. Silence in God's presence. Silence, knowing that God loves us, that God understands, that God sees us. Through prayer, we align ourselves with God's heart, and we allow God to transform our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And this is what I believe happens for Hagar. God transforms Hagar's heart, and Hagar aligns herself with God's heart. I have seen the one who sees me. I've seen the one who sees me. This is Hagar's story. And this can be your story as well. I believe Hagar's story can teach us valuable lessons about prayer. God works in the mess. God initiates, and God sees me, and that's the main or big idea of this message, that God sees me. God sees you. He sees us. So God works in the mess. There is a lot of mess here in Genesis 16. We just read the story out loud, and this morning, it's not my intention to repeat, to rehash. I really want to focus on the interaction between Hagar and God. But what is going on in Hagar's life? It's real. It's raw. This is not a sanitized account. I mean, Hagar's not even free to make her own choices in this society. She's used. She's mistreated, and she flees into the desert. Like, what hope does she have out there? But God works in this mess, and God is working in your mess. Let's embrace prayer. Let's connect with God in the middle of the mess. When you've barely slept, because you're caring for a newborn or young child. When the relationship you thought would be perfect is failing. When death happens unexpectedly. When you don't even know where you're going to live next month. Let's get rid of any ideas that prayer needs the right situation or the right person or the right words. Prayer is so much bigger and deeper than that. Prayer is about heart-to-heart interaction with a God of power and love. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Matthew 11:28. Come to Jesus with your heart. Come to Jesus, no matter what is going on, come to Jesus. Another lesson from the story of Hagar is that God initiates. So Hagar flees into the desert, and it's actually the Lord that comes to her. She wasn't seeking the Lord. She's just running away. I don't know if she had much of a plan. Just get out of there. And the Lord found her. Verse 7. The Lord found her. That's what God does. He finds people. God starts the conversation. And I'm reminded of the story of the woman at the well in John chapter 4. Same kind of thing. Jesus starts the conversation. Could I have a drink of water? And then all of a sudden they're talking about living water. And Jesus says, announces he's the Messiah. I'm that person. I'm God, God in the flesh. And her life has changed. God initiates. So a life of prayer is a life of carefully listening to God. Learn to listen. And sometimes we do need to speak. We need to pour out all our thoughts before the Lord. I'm not saying this is wrong. It's not wrong. God hears us when we cry out. We need the courage and the comfort to cry out, to be honest. But we also need to know that prayer is about listening. And that's one of the reasons our soak times every second Sunday are so important. They can be such a great place for us to listen. Or maybe try a prayer walk. It's like a walk, but it's so much more intentional. You go out and walk, and you have that intentional moment where you're going to connect with God. This is another great place to listen. And in my younger days, when I prayed, I have to admit, I usually did all the talking. But now, and I'm still working on this, it's still a growth area for me, I do try to listen more in prayer. Listen and then follow. Take a step and then listen some more. That's the hard part. I think I have got to the end. But take a step, more listening, and it's just wonderful. And notice in this passage, speaking of following God, verse 9, the Lord tells Hagar to go back. Go back and submit. Now, this isn't a command to blindly apply to all situations. It's a specific instruction to Hagar. It's part of her story. And Hagar obeys. She listens and does what the Lord is telling her to do. And Hagar's life is transformed in the desert, even though she's told to go back. Her life is transformed because in the desert, Hagar experiences the reality that God sees her. You are the God who sees me. Verse 13. What a beautiful, powerful truth. Go ahead, you can make it personal. God sees me. You could say it, know it. God sees me. And a life of prayer is lived in the reality that God is personally present, that He sees you and me. We can try this the next time we pray. Just pause for a moment or two. Just let it sink in to realize that God sees me. He really sees me. It's hard to really describe or understand how deep this is, but I did think, and I'll try not to cry on this one. I thought of the example of holding a baby. It's just such a precious example, and we had the child dedication this morning, so I thought this was appropriate. And I don't know if you've held a young newborn baby recently or if you remember, but when you hold this tiny baby in your arms, maybe it's your own child or grandchild, and you're physically holding them, there is just so much love that you can feel. And test and weigh this, but I have this image of God holding each of us like a newborn child. He holds us in His arms, and it's so personal. We're so safe when we're with Him, and there's so much love. The word sees in this passage, and also in our cultural context, it goes far beyond literal sight. God sees me. God knows us. He understands us, who we are. What is exactly going on in our life? What we really need. He created us. He loves us. He has good plans for our lives. He sees us. And we long to be seen, don't we? We long to hear those words. I see you. I see you. And as we come to this table this morning, Jesus says, I see you. I see you. I love you. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for your word, for its power. Thank you for how you reached out to Hagar at perhaps the lowest point of her life, Lord. And thank you that you do that kind of stuff again and again and again. And we praise you. That is my testimony as well, Lord, that you have seen me. May we be able to give that testimony, Lord. Teach us to listen. Teach us to understand that you are here. You are present. We have nothing to fear because you're right here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.